Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Hans von Spakovsky is the manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative and senior legal fellow for the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies over at Heritage Foundation. Joins us now. Hans, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Larry, thanks for having me back.
You bet. Anytime, and especially after you beautifully written today about Joe Manchin. Senator Manchin, as you see things sort of sorting out here for H.R. 1 making its way through the Senate, how critical is Joe Manchin to this conversation?
Well, absolutely critical, since, as you know, there's a 50-50 split right now in the U.S. Senate. So with Kamala Harris as the vice president casting the deciding vote, if there is a 50-50 split, all it takes is one Democratic senator to vote against H.R. 1, and it is stopped. And that's why Manchin is really being focused on to try to stop this really terrible bill from going through. Even if he votes for it and it goes through, I mean, I don't know how he could face his constituents back in West Virginia, because look, Larry, not only is this bill filled with bad, unwise, really reckless changes in the laws governing elections, but in essence, he would be telling his own state legislators that he doesn't trust them, because what this bill does is basically take the power away from state legislators to decide what the rules are going to be to run elections in their states, and hands it over to Congress. And I really don't understand why any U.S. senator, or particularly even Democrats, would want to vote for that.
Hans, there's so much in this bill, and I'm glad you're raising some of the things that we haven't quite gotten to yet. We've spoken about quite a bit of it. Let's hit that one, though. How does that pass constitutional muster in terms of handing over the districting responsibilities to the House of Representatives?
Well, the problem with this bill is it's so huge and so full of so many different things that there are lots of provisions in this bill that I think are blatantly unconstitutional. Unfortunately, there are others that are within the power, I think, of Congress to set the time, place, and manner of congressional elections, even though they make me think of Justice Scalia once said. He said, well, there are plenty of bills that may be constitutional even if they're stupid. And if this passes and it ends up in the courts, I think there are large portions of it that the Supreme Court would find unconstitutional, but there are other parts that unfortunately might stay in.
What about the we know for a fact right now, and by the way, the mainstream media always tries to fact check this and say that it's false or mostly false or unproven. Hans, clear this up. This is a fact. We have non-citizens, including illegal immigrants in this country right now who are registered to vote. That is beyond a doubt, correct?
That is absolutely correct. Not only from cases where folks have been prosecuted, but also various reports that have come out that have actually looked at voter registration records in various states that have found that, yeah, aliens are on the voter rolls.
In fact, the former Secretary of State of California, who now has a job in the Biden administration, remarkably, admitted publicly that he had no idea how many non-citizens may have registered when he was Secretary of State, because what they called a glitch in their system, right? He literally has no idea. And we know for a fact that in Los Angeles County, they're going through a purge process right now to take out a whole bunch of people that shouldn't be on the voter registration. LA County has admitted this in open court with Judicial Watch, and they're purging people, including non-citizens, including illegal immigrants. So it shouldn't even be up for debate. Now, so let's move on to H.R. 1. H.R. 1 has a provision with automatic voter registration. How exactly is that supposed to function and weed out people who aren't supposed to be registered if they can't do it now?
Well, in fact, that's the whole problem. You know, the sponsors of this say, oh, it's not going to lead to ineligibles like aliens getting registered. But of course it is, because it requires states to automatically register people, not just from DMV, but from all state agencies that interact with the public. Also, it requires federal agencies to send information on people they interact with to state election officials. So basically, you're going to have all this information coming in from all these different agencies, some of which, you know, maybe they'll have citizenship data, maybe they won't. But think of it this way. This means there's going to be multiple and duplicate registration of the same individuals in the same state, in different states. And what do you think a career bureaucrat is going to do if, well, he doesn't really know whether the person's a citizen or not, and he can either send the information forward for that person to get registered, or he doesn't do it, risk a future civil rights lawsuit because he supposedly discriminated and kept somebody from voting? Now, which way do you think they're going to go?
Hans von Spakovsky is our guest at Heritage Foundation. Let's bring this back to Joe Manchin and the good people of West Virginia. We have a lot of people who listen to West Virginia because of the mighty signal we have here at 105.9 FM, but also they listen online. They're also listening in their cars driving back from their work closer to the Washington, D.C. area. There's a lot of Joe Manchin's voters who are listening to us right now. Talk to me about Joe Manchin, the rhetoric that he likes to use when he's running for office about how he's a different kind of Democrat and how he needs to take that rhetoric and actually put it into play if he's ever going to do it right now for H.R. 1.
Oh, I completely agree with that. And that's particularly important because, as I said, who does he trust to set the election rules? His constituents who mm-hmm. vote to put in the state legislators who then make the decisions? Does he think members of Congress and all these individuals who aren't from West Virginia should be doing that? I mean, that's what right. it really well, boils down to.
And also,
and that's an important point.
Let's paint the picture of what will happen on, the weeks leading up to Election Day in West Virginia should the ballot harvesting provision be made available.
Oh, yeah.
You will have paid political operatives from D.C., from Maryland, from Massachusetts, flown into West Virginia to start knocking on people's doors to collect their precious ballot, right? That will be the law if Joe Manchin allows this to happen.
No, that's exactly right. This law forces states to allow third-party strangers to pick up people's ballots. And what does that do? Well, one, it puts them in a position to pressure and coerce voters in their homes where there's no election official around to prevent that from happening. Plus, boy, you're putting something really valuable into the hands of people who have a stake in the outcome of the election. Like I said, political consultants and campaign staffers and others, and there's no telling what they might do with that ballot. Yeah, maybe they'll deliver it. On the other hand, if it's a Democratic staffer and he's in a neighborhood that he knows people there vote Republican, he might decide, well, maybe I don't want to have this delivered. And how are voters going to check on that? They're not going to know the name of the people who come to their doors and say, oh, yeah, I'll deliver the ballot for you. Or they could change and alter the ballot. That's what happened in North Carolina in the 9th Congressional District of the 2018 election, and it led to the election results being overturned.
Yep. And by the way, this is a bipartisan problem because in that case, it was a Republican who had done this. This isn't
that's
about
right.
parties. This is about voter integrity. That's what Hans von Spakovsky is all about, by the way. And let's talk about another aspect of H.R. 1 that Joe Manchin, if he really cared about the people of West Virginia and West Virginia values, he would cut with the suspense. He should come out right now and say he's against it. And that has to do with this unholy mix of basically eliminating voter ID requirements and also mandating same-day registration. Now, let's start with the first one, because people in West Virginia might think, well, we've got photo ID requirements here in West Virginia, so and the feds can't touch that. Well, there's language here in H.R. 1 that basically renders photo ID requirements meaningless, right? It basically makes them completely
yes.
inactive.
No, in fact, what it says is the only thing states can require somebody, they come in and vote, is that they sign a form saying, oh yeah, I really am who I say I am. So Larry, that means I could go into a polling place in West Virginia and say, yeah, I'm Larry O'Connor.
You could vote as Joe Manchin. Forget about me. I'm Joe Manchin.
Yeah,
just sign
yeah.
a document.
Yeah. Right. And combine that with the fact that it requires states to put in same day voter registration. That means that states have to allow you to walk into a polling place on Election Day, register, and immediately vote, which one gives election officials no time to actually verify any of the information you're giving them. And two, when you combine that with no ID requirement, again, I could go into any polling place, register under a false name and a false address. They have to hand me a ballot. I vote. I walk out of the polling place. They can't ask me for ID, and there's nothing they can do about it.
And again, that's the federal government dictating that through Congress. Joe Manchin. So again, you may be sitting pretty in West Virginia right now, and you may think you've got all of these election integrity laws. Joe Manchin, if he does not oppose H.R. 1, will basically be shredding those laws that are on the books in West Virginia. That's what H.R. 1 does, right?
No, that's exactly right. And just one quick final thing, which is why, you know, this law passed on a party line vote in the House with one exception. Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi voted against it. It's sole Democrat to do that because his constituents, he said, didn't like certain provisions of the bill, including H.R. 1 would set up a public financing system for folks running for Congress. That means that the taxpayer funds, the people living in West Virginia, would subsidize people running for Congress. So you, the taxpayer, would have to subsidize the campaigns of people who you may not like at all and would never vote for.
Hans von Spakovsky is with us. He's the manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative over at Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about the dangers of H.R. 1, as we promised to do when they passed this thing in January. And we've got valiant states right now who are trying to tighten up major problems that you and I talked about in the 2020 elections. We've got those states doing the right thing and trying to move these laws. We saw Georgia famously do it a couple of weeks ago. Let's be clear, H.R. 1, for the most part, just abolishes all of that hard work the states are doing right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that is exactly right. And all of those reforms, unlike what you're hearing in the media, or mainstream media, those reforms are simply dedicated to trying to fix the vulnerabilities of the system. They are not intended and would not have the effect of keeping anybody out of the polls, despite the lies being told about, for example, the Georgia reform bill, including by people like Joe Biden.
By the way, one other thing, because you follow this more than I do, although I follow it pretty closely. During the committee hearings about the Georgia election reforms, because all we heard from Democrats was the photo ID requirements is going to disenfranchise black, brown, elderly and impoverished voters because they are less likely to have a photo ID. Did they bring to the table during those hearings one witness who fits that criteria? One person who could step up under oath and say to the Georgia state legislators, I do not have a photo ID, and here's why I can't get one?
Not that I'm aware. And in fact, I don't think people understand that Georgia's actually had a voter ID, a photo voter ID law in place since the 2008 election. The only thing they just did was extend the ID requirement to absentee ballots. So that law has been in place for more than 10 years. And that's because all the challengers of that law have been unable, in fact, to produce a single person who was unable to vote because of that ID requirement, particularly because the state will give a free ID to anybody who doesn't have one. So this idea that somehow will keep people from voting, we know it's not true because the law has been in place for 10 years, and turnout, they've had record turnout in the state since the ID law went into place.
One other part of H.R. 1, God, it's so giant and there's so much wrong with it, and I so appreciate the hard work you and your colleagues do on this. One thing that I had not known about, which is terrifying to me, is this online voter registration. Now, online voter registration in and of itself isn't necessarily a problem as long as there's some sort of cross-check within the state's databases of residency and driver's license or what have you. But that's not what this is. Talk to me about the mandatory online voter registration that Congress will force on every one of the states.
Yeah, the devil's in the details with online registration. Yeah, some states have online voter registration now, but only for people for whom they already have a state record. In other words, in many states, if you went to DMV and you got a driver's license, but you didn't register to vote, they'll allow you to register online. Why? Well, because they already got a state record on you. You had to show your ID when you got your driver's license. This federal law would override that and say you have to allow wide open online voter registration for anybody, even if the state doesn't already have an ID for it, which means they're opening up voter registration to mass fraud by cyber criminals and hackers in a way we've never seen before. And the chaos and problems it could cause are so horrendous that, again, I just can't believe that the sponsors of this bill are so stupid as to be pushing that.
Well, listen, I'll let you have the final word here, Hans, because what is your message to West Virginia voters in particular? Sadly, you know, Maryland and Virginia, those votes are gone already on this thing. They're going to do what Chuck Schumer and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tell them to do. That's what Virginia and Maryland, sadly, have voted for in the Senate. But Joe Manchin, the West Virginia senator, he could save the day here. What is your message to West Virginians about what they should be concerned about and what they should be communicating to their senator?
I think they should do two things. One, contact Joe Manchin and tell him that he should not be voting for a bill that's going to take away their ability to decide how to run elections in the state. And then they ought to call their state legislators and tell them the same thing, and tell them they need to talk to Joe Manchin and tell him that why in the world would he vote for a bill that would take away their ability as state legislators to help decide how elections should be run in the state. That's the message they ought to get out.
Yeah, it really does come down to who's going to tell West Virginians how their elections should be run and how their districts should be drawn. The people of West Virginia through their representatives in the state legislature, or Nancy Pelosi? That, I mean, it honestly is that stark.
Yeah, no, that's it. It is.
Hans, thank you so much. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Great stuff, as always.
Thanks for having me.
That is. Oh, and by the way, Hans, we'll hear you tomorrow morning, right? Did we already lose him? Is he gone? Hans von Spakovsky. You'll hear Hans elaborate on this even further tomorrow morning, filling in for Vince Colonnais. He'll be on with Mary on Mornings on the Mall. Looking forward to waking up with Hans tomorrow.